Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, this past Friday, February 2nd, was my favorite holiday, Groundhog's Day. Indeed, my wife gets flowers on Groundhog's Day. You see, I feel that Valentine's Day is just a Hallmark holiday, and I'm not interested in that. But my wonderful wife deserves attention and recognition and flowers, so she gets recognized on February 2nd. And way back when she was teaching, she had got to explain to her friends and students why flowers had arrived for her. So I trust that each of you had a very happy Groundhog's Day. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. What did you do for your wife on Groundhog's Day, Skip?
Well, Colonel, I am every bit as romantic as you are. I didn't get my wife flowers. That's not very practical, but we did have a groundhog dinner, which is, candles, groundhog right there.
Ooh.
Pot roast, groundhog pot roast. It doesn't get any better than that, Colonel.
Hey, there's more than one way to skin a cat or
or a groundhog.
Or a groundhog. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss Martin Luther King Jr. and anti-Semitism. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman will join us to discuss the crazy world we now live in. Chris Stone from Gun Owners of America will share the challenges that they're facing regarding our freedom. And Teresa Robinson will discuss women veterans.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Let's start with the news. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, here's the hottest thing. Late last month, the Iran-backed Houthi terrorist launched a missile at one of our destroyers. We shot it down. At least three of our troops were killed, and at least 25 other U.S. personnel were wounded after a drone strike hit a remote military post in northeast Jordan last week. Officials said the attack, the first in the Middle East to kill our forces since the Israel-Hamas war began in October, was carried out by unspecified Iran-backed militias. The strike occurred near Al-Tamf, a base sitting a few miles from the Jordan-Syria-Iraq meeting point. The base anchors a localized zone outside of Syrian government control.
Okay, an attack on a U.S. warship is an act of war by all standards. An attack on our troops is clearly an act of war. We need to hit the Houthis hard and destroy them and hit an Iranian military position and take it out. This is war. To do less is to confirm to these enemies that we're weak and indecisive.
And the International Court of Justice instructed Israel to limit casualties and increase humanitarian aid in the Gaza Strip, highly anticipated ruling that stopped short of ordering a complete ceasefire. The case was brought by South Africa, which accuses Israel of committing acts of genocide against Palestinians in the territory. The outcome of the decision is twofold. Israel must report back to the court on measures taken to implement the order within 1 month, and the court may continue to consider South Africa's claims of genocide, which it did not directly refute, in the future. The court, which is part of the United Nations, has no enforcement mechanism, though all member countries are expected to abide by its rulings. The Genocide Convention has its roots in World War II, after which international leaders felt existing legal frameworks inadequately addressed atrocities seen during the fighting, including the Holocaust.
The UN has always been hostile to Israel. That's likely because the majority of the nations of the world are dictatorships, and Israel is a democracy in a region of dictators. Israel's been a victim of terrorism attacks for generations, and where has the UN been for that? I suggest that Israel ignore the UN totally and fight this war.
An Israeli proposal for a ceasefire of up to 2 months in return for the release of all remaining hostages was rejected by Hamas, who said no more hostages would be let go until Israel leaves Gaza entirely. Details of the multi-part proposal came from diplomatic sources in Egypt and Qatar, who are trying to broker a ceasefire. The proposal included an Israeli agreement to allow Hamas leaders to leave Gaza. The fighting, meanwhile, has intensified in southern Gaza. Israel lost 24 soldiers in battle in 1 day, its worst losses since the war began, but its military reported they had now surrounded Khan Yunis, the main city in that area.
Okay, UN, you want a ceasefire? Do you support taking hostages? Of course you won't support Israel. You support terrorists.
And our nation is out of money for Ukraine, unable to send the ammunition and missiles that the government in Kiev needs to fend off the Russians. With the aid caught up in domestic politics, the Biden administration came empty-handed for the first time as host of the monthly meeting of about 50 nations that coordinate support for Ukraine. While waiting for Congress to approve more money for Ukraine's fight, Washington is looking to allies to keep bridging the gap. Quote, I urge this group to dig deep to provide Ukraine with more life-saving ground-based air defense systems and interceptors, Austin said in opening remarks broadcast from his home. Celeste Wallander, Assistant Defense Secretary for International Affairs, said Ukraine's Ministry of Defense is getting reports from its front lines that units don't have the stocks and the stores of ammunition that they require. While Ukraine waits to see what Congress will do, European allies are moving ahead with new measures to support Ukraine. In Brussels, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg announced a $1.2 billion joint contract to buy over 223,000 rounds of 155-millimeter ammunition. The rounds are some of the most heavily used munitions in the war, and the contract will be used to backfill allies that have pushed their own reserves to Kiev.
Ukraine is doing well defending itself against Russia. It's time for us to severely reduce our support for Ukraine. Ukraine's neighbors, those who might be Russia's next target, need to be the prime supporters. I'm glad they're stepping up.
And our State Department brushed off reports of Russian President Putin ordering his government to look into the nation's former real estate abroad, saying Alaska would be staying in Americans' hands. Putin signed a new decree this month to allocate funds for the research and registration of Russian property overseas, including that in former territories of the Russian Empire and Soviet Union, Russian state media TASS reported. The decree, which comes amid Russia's ongoing invasion of Ukraine, did not specifically mention Alaska, though it caught the attention of military bloggers, who argued Putin was using the decree to declare the 1867 Russian sale of Alaska to the U.S. is illegal. Quote, well, I think I can speak for all of us in the U.S. government to say that certainly he's not getting it back, State Department spokesman Vedant Patel said during a press briefing, prompting laughter from his audience. The Institute for the Study of War noted the exact parameters of what constitutes current or historical Russia property are unclear.
Russia's leadership is a mess. Yes, Putin's in charge, but this idea of reestablishing the old Russian Empire is nuts. But a nuts movement by a nuclear power can be overwhelming. We need to get our military away from being woke and back to being combat ready in case we need to deal with this. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with General Jack Bergman. At ease, troops, take a break. It's that time of the year again. The U.S. Mint is making their new 2024 American Silver Eagle and American Gold Eagle coins, and there's no better time to shore up your investment in precious metals than now. Call Universal Coin and Bullion at 800 UCB Gold to get great prices on the finest gold and silver coins of the year. I work with Universal Coin and Bullion because they're a company that you can trust. So give them a call at 800 UCB Gold. That's 800 UCB Gold, or check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Look like sheep and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing, because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess, with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Team, I think it's pretty clear that I am very much a supporter of Israel, and I very much support Dr. Martin Luther King. I believe that his I Have a Dream speech should be both respected and honored, and the basis for goal setting by all American leaders and organizations. I support Israel, especially as it's been under attack by Muslim terrorists since it was established, or reestablished. The terrorists have openly and regularly targeted civilians, schools, hospitals, and places of worship, and strangely, no nations, much less the UN, have criticized the terrorists for doing this. Well, New York Congressman Richie Torres, an African-American, recently spoke at a Jewish event, and wow. If Martin Luther King were alive today, he would sound like Richie Torres. MLK's message is about standing up for the rights of Black people to vote freely, live as equals, and not be subjected to racism were the right messages for the 50s and 60s. King's leadership of the civil rights movement led to the most important change that occurred on race issues in our nation in the 20th century. Despite the North defeating the South in the Civil War during Lincoln's presidency, the issues of race continued to plague our nation well into the 60s. Separate bathrooms, sitting in the back of bus, and being scared to vote were all norms in the South until the civil rights movement changed the law under President Johnson's administration. The group of people in our nation that was most represented in helping push through the successful legislation of the civil rights movement were the Jewish people. Jewish leaders, rabbis, lawyers, and civic leaders throughout America stood side by side with Dr. King and with the Black activists at rallies all across the South. The NAACP had massive support among Jewish people and among the general Jewish population. Tens of millions of dollars from Jewish grassroots were contributed to attack the inequality for Black people. Has this been repaid by most of the Black people in America today with support for Israel during this time of increased terror? No. Most Black people today are showing rampant anti-Semitism. One need not be a sociologist to know this. A simple reading of the talkbacks across social media channels reveals the widespread Black anti-Semitism that grows from day to day. But there are notable exceptions. New York Mayor Eric Adams, whether he supports New York policies or not, stood up with the Jewish people following October 7th. Others have followed suit, but the vast majority of Black activists today have nothing but anti-Israel and anti-Jewish attitudes. Okay, it's very politically incorrect to say this and is therefore not declared loudly in public, but most of what Richie Torres said should be self-evident to all Black people. Perhaps this clarity of thought and speech will make a dent in the negative trends that are the norm today. Even right-wingers like Candace Owens have not yet figured out that Israel's battle for survival is connected to the West's battle against radical Islam. It's about right and wrong, good versus evil. The immigration wars on our nation's border are very much the same thing that Israel's dealing with on its borders. People seeking to enter Israel illegally want to use Israel, and in some cases, kill Jews. America was created by immigrants. We've always welcomed them if they come legally. We have always welcomed people who came to America to contribute to our nation and those fleeing serious persecution. The millions who have entered our nation illegally since President Biden took office have all lied, claiming persecution, and they bring nothing of value to our nation. Or if they do bring something to our nation, we don't know about it, as we know nothing about them. Now we have to feed, house, educate, and care for these people, many of whom are likely either terrorists or criminals. We need to stop illegal immigration and deport all those that came here illegally. This is not about isolation. We continue to welcome legal immigrants. You know, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. We can't ignore the major acts of aggression and evil that are taking place around the world. The principles of Dr. King's speech apply everywhere. The dangers that are on the other sides of the Atlantic and Pacific will find their way here if we deny the fact that they're dangers. The Taiwan, Israel, and Ukraine battle theaters are not the same. Indeed, Israel's battle is against many, many terrorist groups all over the Middle East. But they cannot be ignored without our nation facing massive repercussions a few years down the road. Now, for the time being, I don't feel that we should be sending our combat troops into any of these areas, though we do have to hit Iran. We certainly don't need to get any more endless wars. But non-involvement or isolationism is not a choice. It's just kicking the can down the road. And then the problems will simply snowball from where they are today into a monumental issue. The answer to treating all people properly is to judge people by their proven abilities and their attitudes. When I was a hiring manager, I looked at candidates and asked myself, how will this person make my team better? Race, gender, and the like should not be considered. But we do have to get rid of those who hate others based on their race or faith or like. We need to get totally rid of wokeness and judge people by their ability. I hope we can do this. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. And now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, Colonel, the U.S. Air Force tried out an electric airplane, and now they want to buy them. Air Force conducted a three-month test of battery-powered conventional takeoff and landing aircraft from a company called Beta Technologies. And they did this at Elgin Air Force Base's Duke Field in Florida. Air Force pilots flew the aircraft both on base and on cross-country missions. They even conducted experimental operations and training with a 413th Flight Test Squadron at Robins Air Force Base in Georgia. Now, they conducted over 55 missions, which included cargo and logistic missions and even simulated casualty evacuations. In fact, during the casualty exercise, the aircraft showed improved response times at forward operation bases, and it even took over for an H-60 helicopter that was carrying a simulated casualty, and it only made it halfway to the medical facility. But here's the best part. For a sample trip like this with like a C-130, it would require a crew of at least three people and expend about $1,600 in fuel. The electric airplane, on the other hand, can complete the exact same mission with a two-person crew and an energy cost of $5 just in electricity. Now, it may not surprise you, but it did me, the Department of Defense is the world's largest industrial producer of greenhouse gases, and they see electric aircraft as a way to ease both the greenhouse gases and maintenance and operational logistics. So all these test flights were conducted under the program that was launched in 2020 to propel electric aviation development for the military. And if it all goes according to plan, Beta's electric aircraft will enter service in 2025, and they plan to follow that up with a vertical takeoff and landing aircraft in 2026. Now, although the final decision on when and how many electric airplanes the Air Force will buy is actually completely unknown, they have said the aircraft is definitely on the acquisition path. Now, I'm pretty skeptical of electric vehicles and aircraft, especially for military use, but if they can really get flight costs down to $25 an hour, and reduce greenhouse gases? Well, I'm all for that. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I appreciate you. You really contribute a lot. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Congressman Jack Bergman. Then we'll discuss Gun Owners of America with Chris Stone. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some wind sprints. Do them for a couple of miles, then stand at ease.
Veterans swore an oath to defend this country, and that oath doesn't expire when we take off the uniform. Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and military families the opportunity to continue serving their country by taking on the most important issues our country is facing.
A better foreign policy, quality health care for veterans, responsible spending, and more.
Learn more about how you can play a part by visiting CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to Vetted Veterans Program's mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do contact me. If you have any questions or comments, email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Congressman and retired Marine Lieutenant General Jack Bergman. Jack just can't seem to stop serving our nation and serving it very well. Thanks for joining us today, Jack.
Hey, Denny. Great to be with you again and with all the troops. And I'm always... I always feel better after we chat, and the message that you give and put out the data makes me more confident in our media.
Well, we absolutely got to get the real truth out there and tell the real stories of what's going on, and that's something that we get to do together. Jack, you started out on active duty, ended up in the reserves, then back on active duty to. Is that a quick summary? Give us a quick summary of your time.
Yeah, pretty much 1969, started active duty 7 years, helicopters, Vietnam, came back, left active duty after a couple of years, stayed in the reserves. And then after 9/11, was back on active duty for 7 more years and retired in the end of 2009.
Okay, and you goofed off for a little while and now you're in Congress. What term are you in now? Your third or fourth?
I'm in my fourth term. Yeah, I was retired. Well, you know, guys like us never really retire. We just change how we're trying to be, you know, people part of good solutions, not creating problems for others. So, we had an open seat. I had never really considered running for Congress before, but it was an open seat. And I said to my wife, well, honey, if I put my hat in the ring, will you support me? And she goes, oh, go ahead. Who's going to vote for you? Nobody knows you. So you can see how that goes, and they never challenge a Marine or a soldier. You know, we're going to show you how many push-ups we can do.
Amen, brother. Just get down and start pushing Michigan away. That's what I tell people to do.
There you go.
Okay. While I see that our nation provides the most freedom of any nation in the world and we're the most prosperous, we're sure on a path to losing everything. We need to get our country turned around. Still proud to be an American. I want to stay that way. There are so many challenges. Probably the goofiest thing going on right now from the point of view of is what's going on in the Middle East, Israel and the Mideast and the Iranian terrorist groups. We've lost some people killed now. As a matter of fact, last week sometime, the Houthis fired missiles at one of our warships. They shot them down, wasn't it? An attack on a warship is an act of war against our nation, isn't it?
Well, it is. And you know, there is the rules, if you will, the law of war and all the agreements that are agreed to between sovereign nations, even though if it's an agreement to not violate, whether it be NATO rules or established agreements, but groups like the Houthis are not a nation state actor. They're not a signatory to any agreement with any other country. They're just a band of, for lack of a better term, in the old days, they're a band of outlaws who are currently getting support from Iran. And the Houthis are just one group that Iran is supporting. And I mean, we could talk literally probably for hours on how did we get to where we are today? And for those historians in the crowd, the ball started rolling downhill negatively when President Jimmy Carter basically made the decision to desert the Shah. And when the Shah left Iran in 79, 78, whenever that time frame was, that's when the radical Islamists, this is Shia, not Sunni, Shia under the Ayatollah, basically took control of Iran. So we as the United States under President Carter, I believe, made a strategic mistake when we, and the Shah was not perfect, but Iran, if you look at the history of Iran, too many people don't know that its original name as a country was Persia.
Yes.
So if you study ancient history and when the Persians ruled the world, and they did because the world was a lot smaller then, there is some twisted idea that they would like to rebuild that Persian Empire in a 21st nuclear century.
Well, it certainly is a mess. And indeed, when we abandoned the Shah and the bad guys took over and took over our embassy, I was a Mideast war planner at that time. And so I was not physically, but actually in the middle of it. And that it certainly went bad. And we really haven't done a good job of interacting or dealing with Iran since then. But on the other hand, dealing with a nation that sees themselves as they want to kill everybody who disagrees with them and uses religion as a tool, it's sort of hard to deal with them. So I'm not sure, once the bad guys got control, I'm not sure what to do other than pound them into the dirt. And that's not a really starting point for anything, is it?
Well, it's not. And when you think about diplomacy, because think of our first Secretary of State in our country, Thomas Jefferson, and how he had, send the Marines to Tripoli back a long, long, long time ago. The point is, we as the United States, in the world in which we live, not only have to have a strong Department of Defense, and Department of Defense, I sometimes think it needs to be changed to the Department of Offense, because if you're always playing defense, you're never going to put points on the board, if you will. And those points, if you will, are positive relationships with different countries. Where the points are supposed to be put on the board is through the Department of State and their relationships, because they're diplomats and they run the embassies, they run all of those interactions between the United States and whatever their country is in. And the biggest positive step we had that occurred now about 4 or 5 years ago was when President Trump was very influential in, if you will, getting the Abraham Accords signed. And I was on the White House lawn that day for the ceremony, and there was Democrats and Republicans there and people from all over the world. But it was a big positive deal. A big positive deal. And nobody today even remembers what the Trump administration did with putting the Abraham Accords into place, because it was a next first step in getting countries that could have been historical enemies to come to the table and sit down and talk with one another and air their grievances and negotiate as a group that has the common interest of, they all live in the Middle East. It's their neighborhoods.
You know, that was an amazing first step. Unfortunately, we weren't able to follow it up as much as we should have. But that certainly surprised everybody in a very positive way with how well it worked. Nothing's perfect, but...
And the second part of that is, again, during his administration, President Trump showed strength. For the last 3+ years, Joe Biden has pretty much embarrassed. I feel bad for the man because I don't think he's got it all together. But he has not shown strength as the commander in chief. And whether it's China, Russia, Iran, the Houthis, you name any one of any of the areas in Africa that are under siege by disparate terrorist groups that are taking down their governments. I mean, we as the United States under the Biden administration have showed no leadership and therefore no strength on the international stage.
Yes, sir. And that makes us very vulnerable. There's more to talk about our nation's challenges, and Jack is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, sometimes each week. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman. Jack, you were talking about the weak situation we're in, and it's a little bit like our challenge with crime in our country. If you're weak and don't come down against people that are trying to hurt you, they'll hurt you, whether it's in your neighborhood or in the international community. And if you appear weak and don't respond with strength, why wouldn't they push you and take advantage of you, particularly in the international community? And we're seeing that now, isn't it?
Well, we are. And, you know, it's a great analogy about crime and, shall we say, international threats. Because if you think about it, I lived in Chicago for 17 years back through the 80s. I was there actually long enough to see the Chicago Bears win a Super Bowl.
Wow.
But anyway, and boy, they were the Super Bowl Shuffle, which was the video they did back in 85. They were the worst dancers of anybody I've ever seen, but at least they could play football. But the point is, you know, Chicago be an example of a city that used to be a model of law and order for big American cities. But the leadership in Chicago at the time was, you know, Mayor Daley and then his son later on and a couple of others. But Chicago was a no BS city. If you were a bad guy and you did bad things in Chicago, by God, the police were going to come and they were going to arrest you and they were going to put you in prison. And that's how that was going to be dealt. So strong leadership, strong commitment in the neighborhoods to keep the law enforcement agencies informed of potentially bad behavior. It was the community working together. Take that out of Chicago, put it into the national level. We have weakened ourselves in another way on the international stage because, I mean, we all know the border is a crisis and has been a crisis, but it's bordering on catastrophe. And where that one example of that catastrophe could be, and this all relates back to the Middle East, we know because we don't have exact numbers, but it's in the hundreds that international terrorists who have been apprehended at the border, that's what we know. We have no idea how many of those same people coming from radical terrorist organizations have gotten through the border and are in our midst right now. That is a powder keg waiting to be ignited. And that's that, again, that I hate to lay blame, but it all falls on strong leadership. And closing the border doesn't mean shutting it down. It means putting the border in such a situation that the people are trying to come here, go through the process, and either are accepted, rejected. It doesn't mean sealing it off so nobody comes. It means enforcing the laws that we already have on the books. And to be current here, I mean, Texas is doing, I was on the border, well, just about a month ago now, like the 2nd of January. I went down there with Speaker Johnson and a bunch of other folks. It is worse than a mess. It is chaotic. And we put everybody, including those people who are trying to enter our country legally, we put them at risk, as well as our own U.S. citizens.
Yes, sir. I'm working with some young people, and there's a young man who's here in the United States from the Mideast. He has permission to come here and study.
Yep.
And he's a fine guy, speaks the language, loves our country, would like to stay. He's having trouble even applying to stay legally. And I want to say, just go to Mexico and come back illegally and you're fine. But I'm not going to do that. But this is a really, really horrible time for us. And it's basically a lack of leadership. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Congressman Jack Bergman. Jack, we've got this mess and we need to turn it around. And this is an election year. So I believe we need a call to action to make sure that we tell everybody to know how any candidate you're going to consider voting for anywhere, particularly Congress, but anywhere, where they stand on your key issues. And when you find a candidate that agrees with your values, get active and get them elected. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it does. And it's number one, we have to have good people step up to run. But then the onus is on the voter to do their research on who the candidates are and engage them. It's really quite easy right now because we're all on the internet doing a little research. But know the people who are running. Don't get involved in saying, well, I like that person's hair, or they really, you know, they look really cool, or they, you know, they drive a nice car, or whatever criteria. All of our voters, it's incumbent upon them, again, to do their research on the candidates and then vote. And most importantly, once you pick one, get out there and support them, even if it's something as simple as going to the local VFW, you know, for Friday fish fry and talking to your buddies. Hey, I saw this veteran. He's put his name or she's put her name in the hat to run for whatever office. And I did my research and here's what I think about him. But engage. We need engaged, informed voters to step up and actually cast their vote.
Yes. One of the things that I found that congressmen like you, Jack, are weak at is reading minds. If people don't communicate with you, you don't know what they're expecting of you, and they can't vote intelligently for you if they don't touch base with, maybe not you personally, but your campaign to find out where you stand on issues that are important to them. I feel very strongly that we live in the most wonderful country in the world right now, and God gave it to us, and it's our responsibility to take care of it. It's not my job to sit here and play games and enjoy life and not pay attention to the government and not pay attention to the country. It's my responsibility as a citizen to get active and to know who you can't know every candidate and all that sort of stuff, but to get active and to do what I can to play a role in making sure our country's headed in the right direction. It's our responsibility as citizens, right?
It is. You know, when we talk about as citizens, we all know our rights. Okay. But if you ask people, okay, you know what your rights are, what are your responsibilities? They go, well, what do you mean? Well, okay, you have the right to do this, you have the right to do that, all that. But what is the responsibility you have as an American citizen, an eligible voter? What are your responsibilities? And I believe your responsibilities are, number one, as we already talked about, get informed and cast your vote. And number two, find a way, however little time it might take or whatever. You may be so busy, you don't have much time, but get involved in the process, the election process, or helping candidates of your choice campaign. Get involved just a little bit. You don't have to do it. But I think if we're going to have good, responsible government, we have to have good, responsible people that get involved at whatever level. And of course, guys like me in the elected office, you know, I swear that oath every 2 years, just like you and I swore the oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that oath never expires.
Amen, sir. And citizens, there's nobody who can't take 15 or 30 minutes a week to do research online and then communicate online or however they want to do it with their friends to encourage them to support and get active. We can do that. And that's the call. I got one more question for you, Jack. I know you are active with the Guardian Fund, and they identify a number of really good candidates. So talk a little bit about how people can check into that.
Yeah. Thank you. And the Guardian Fund was created by Lieutenant Colonel Alan West about 12, 14 years ago. And the goal was to identify and support and get elected conservative veterans and minorities to the United States House of Representatives and the Senate. Okay, that's the goal, and it still is the goal of the Guardian Fund. And for anyone who wants to know, just go out and Google Guardian Fund, and all the information will pop up. But I've been involved with the Guardian Fund. This is my fifth year of being involved with them to help guide them and maximize the, number one, the quality of the candidates that we vet and get behind. And number two, maximize the dollar resources through the gracious nature of our folks here, our citizens across the country, that they contribute to the Guardian Fund. And, you know, at this point, I'll just say I'm like any Marine, Denny, and soldier too, because I guard my supplies very closely. In this case, the supplies would be dollars that good people have contributed, so that when we give them to candidates who need them to help them get over the hump, we're not just throwing money around. We are targeting in a positive way those good conservative veterans and minorities who would make fine members of Congress, very productive members of Congress. That's the Guardian Fund. And again, people could go out and look it up, and we'd love to have people contact us and see about either one, getting involved, two, contribution, whatever it happens to be, because we're all over the country.
Thank you, Jack. And thank you for your great comments today and your service to our nation. I'm proud that we're friends and able to work together. God bless you.
God bless you, Denny.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Chris Stone about Gun Owners of America. Then Navy vet Teresa Robinson will discuss women in the military. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to do some pull-ups. Do 35 good ones and a few push-ups. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.